Good morning. Will you all stand and join with me in the call to worship and the bulletin? Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Every day I will bless you, loving God, and praise your name forever. We worship the God who has conquered sin and death, is raised to eternal life, and who claims each one as brothers and sisters with our Lord, Jesus Christ. May we join in our song of worship, number 11. The invocation. Lord, we come in your presence for worship. Meet us here and help us to know our need. Remind us that we depend on you completely for life itself. Forgive our sins and lead us in your presence as we pray the prayer taught to us by your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We welcome you to our worship service this day. Delighted that you are here and glad that you have chosen to be here with us as we worship the Lord. There is a Delaware Community Coalition event tonight at High Point Nazarene Church. It will begin at 5:30 with dinner, and then later there will be worship, and everyone is invited. We also want to remind everybody about next week. I will be on vacation next week, but there will be daylight savings, which means we're changing the clock, and it's one of those fallback kind of things, so if you fail to do that, you'll get here early. But we will also have change for change, so bring your loose change, and we will be receiving that offering next week. There are a couple of things to be aware of for after the worship service. There are still many blank spaces on the sign-up sheet for tomorrow's Stepping Up meal. So if you would like to be a part of that, be mindful. And there are cards for all of our college students and in the gathering place and during the fellowship time. You'll have an opportunity to sign those, and they will be sent along with packages to the people from First Baptist Church who are in college. Don't forget to pick up your stewardship pledge forms. Pam Falk has a missions moment for us at this time.
Throughout this month, you've been reading each week in the insert in the bulletin about some of our missionaries, and we have been focusing on the World Mission Offering this month. We heard from Emerson and Ivy Wu and Sarah McCurdy, who both all three visited and brought their message to us. This is so important for our missionaries to have support, and that's what the World Mission Offering does. And missionaries don't just go out and preach and teach about the Bible. They're actually out there helping those people to learn how to be self-sufficient and to overcome the difficulties in their lives. So they're also there to help them. Our goal is $700, and as of last Sunday, we were very shy of that amount. So this is the last Sunday we will be promoting this. So if you've not given yet to the World Mission Offering, or if you have and want to give a little more, to those that aid, do that. Thank you.
Our song of praise this morning is number 533, For All the Saints. Shall we stand and sing?
May we pray. Harvest time is all around us. The beans are in the bins and corn is on its way, and the apples are being picked and the pumpkins are everywhere. These are the kind of things the writer of Proverbs wrote in 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits from all your crops. Then your barns will be full and your wine barrels will overflow with new wine. Let us honor the Lord with the fruits of our labors with grateful hearts. Lord, please accept these offerings in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Shall we have a children's moment? Good morning. You see what I brought with me again today?
The Ten
Commandments. I brought this with me a couple weeks ago, and we talked about the first two commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not worship any graven image. Today, I thought we would talk about the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The Sabbath is a word that just means seven. And it refers to the seventh day of creation. Do you know what God did on the seventh day? He rested.
He rested.
He rested, yeah. And so the commandment is, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, and part of the way we do that is to rest from our labors on the Saturday. And that's one of the reasons why we don't go to work or school on Sundays. To be a little bit honest, a lot of people don't do a very good job of observing the Sabbath. One of the other ways we worship, we remember the Sabbath, is to come to church and worship God and spend time with our families. But if you'll notice, we worship on Sundays, and Sundays is the first day of the week, and we're told to remember the seventh day of the week. Do you know why that is? The reason why we worship on Sundays is because Sunday is the day that Jesus was raised from the dead on Easter. And what Christians began doing is having a worship service on Sundays to celebrate the resurrection. And after a while, that became their Sabbath. And so when we remember the Sabbath, we do it on Sundays. And part of the way we do it is to come to church. But I think the best way for you to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy is to take some time and think about God and think about Jesus, who gave his life for us on the cross and who was raised from the dead so that we can have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. It's good for us to think about that. At least part of the day on the Sabbath. Shall we pray? Lord, we ask that you would help us to remember the seventh day, the Sabbath day, that you would help us keep it holy by worshiping you, by getting some rest, and by spending time with the people we love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are there prayer concerns or joys that you would like to share this morning?
Many of you are already aware that Jennifer and I became grandparents this past Wednesday, and Jane a great-grandmother. So, you're welcome. So, Ben and his wife had a little boy born on Wednesday. He was 7 pounds, 10 ounces, and 20 inches long, and his name is Jack Edward Turner. So, we're just very pleased that he is healthy and here with us now, and that, that things are going really well. I have pictures.
I have pictures, too. I put mine on the bulletin board out there. And I also have a picture that's in the Willowbrook magazine that comes to some of us who are old and great-grandparents. There's a wonderful article about Ken Peterson in here, being one of a group of 5 World War II veterans at Willowbrook. And on the back is a lovely picture of Ken and Genevieve sitting next to a fire bush. So I'll have that after church out in the fellowship hall. It's just a joy to see those beauties.
I would like to ask for prayers for Patrick Early. My best friend in the world is Monica Coverley Early. And I'm trying to keep it together here. She went with us to Ireland 2 months.
And halfway through the trip, her husband that didn't go with us had a stroke. So she had to fly home. But he went through rehab and he's doing real well now.
My youngest daughter, who had the disc removed from her neck about a month ago, is going to have her shoulder replaced, and we hope it's going to do so for a while. Thank you.
I want to thank all of you who remembered our family. My step-granddaughter, Jenny, and her baby son died 2 weeks ago, and we will be having a private service here on the 4th for family and friends for her. Thank you.
My neighbor, Ben, his sister is really sick right now, and she would like prayers, and he would like prayers for her as well. Also, we had a great time last night, so thank you to all the youth for planning the party. And you can see the fruits of our labor up on the altar there, the lovely pumpkin. Also, we had almost 100 people come out for the levy information yesterday, even in the snow and everything. So proud that we have that much support in our community for the kids.
I just like prayers for our community and this congregation.
You'll notice that David Harris is not here today. He is in Canada, actually, in Toronto, presenting a paper at a university there. He said the paper was on music and social movements, but that is an honor for him to be able to do that. And so we pray for him and his safe return. Let us pray together. Lord God, as we are in your place of worship today with your people, make us mindful that everywhere we go is your place, that you are with us, that you care and watch over us, that you meet every need that we have. And in that awareness, make us thankful, bring us peace and joy. Help us to see the wonder and the beauty of your creation and of the good gifts that you have given to us. Lord, we pray also that you would make us aware of the times when we do not give thanks. Times when we see things that make us sad or angry or afraid. And in our anxiety, we say and we do things that are not helpful, that are hurtful to ourselves, to the ones we love, and to our neighbors. Heal us. Forgive us. Transform our lives. Lord, we pray for our town and our church. We ask that your word would go out and that it would be heard, and that your goodness and righteousness and your love and grace would be seen by people everywhere. We pray it for our country. We pray it for all the people in the world. And we ask that you would let us see and be a part of your work in this world. In Christ's name that we pray. Amen. A song of meditation this morning is Open Our Eyes. It's in The Faith We Sing, number 2086. Shall we stand together?
Our reading this morning is the 90th Psalm. It's also referred to as the Prayer of Moses, making it the oldest of the Psalms. Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were created, before you made the earth and the world, you are God, without beginning or end. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust." For you, 1,000 years are as yesterday. They are like a few hours. You sweep us away like dreams that disappear, or like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning, it blooms and flourishes, but by evening, it is dry and withered. We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. We live our lives beneath your wrath. We end our lives with a groan, a sigh. 70 years are given to us. Some may even reach 80. But even the best of these years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear, and we are gone. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to make the most of our time, so that we may grow in wisdom. Oh Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good. Let us see your miracles again. Let our children see your glory at work. And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Thus is the beginning of the 90th Psalm, which is a prayer in three parts. First, there is an acknowledgement of God's greatness and that we live under God's care all throughout our lives. God is a home for us. I'm reminded of Paul's speech in the book of Acts when he said, and when he spoke of that in which we live and move and have our being. Next, there is a kind of a lament about the shortness of life and also about something that is noticed, which is that life under God is sometimes characterized by God's wrath, God's anger. All our days pass away under your wrath, and we finish our days with a moan. But then it turns, and there is a blessed prayer for mercy and compassion that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Today is the last Sunday in October, obviously. On Tuesday is Halloween, the eve of All Saints' Day, which probably is drawing a little bit more attention this year because it is on Halloween that Martin Luther posted his 95 theses for discussion on the church door in Wittenberg in Germany, and the Protestant Reformation began, and that was in 1517, which means this is the 500th anniversary. So, in honor of Reformation Day, we will listen briefly to Martin Luther's thoughts about this psalm, particularly the middle part. He wrote, "It often happened to me when I was a monk that when reading this psalm, I had to set it aside. For I did not know at that time that these frightening truths were not intended by Moses for a terrified soul." It turned out that after Martin Luther had an experience of grace, these frightening truths, as he called them, ceased to be a terror to him and became a comfort. "God's wrath," he wrote, "is a wrath of compassion." In the Psalms, and it's not just in this psalm, but there are others, and they tend to be called laments by scholars. And of course, we have the whole book of Lamentations, and in the prophets we find the same thing, which gives us a language to question these things. Sometimes when life is disappointing or discouraging, or when we are overwhelmed by negative things. Paul wrote in Philippians to do everything without complaining. And maybe complaining isn't the right word. But the Bible gives us a language to speak to God. It's almost as if God wants us to question. It's almost as if we are a team preparing for a competition. And the hardships that we face and the questioning that comes into our minds are part of our improvement. So this language is straightforward and it pulls no punches. And here's the thing, that when we exercise this biblical practice of lament, when we address God in these straightforward ways, it helps us. It makes us better. Heals us a little and straightens out our thinking, keeps us from self-pity, and forces us to face the truth about our sinfulness, to accept responsibility for the predicament that we are in, and it also helps us pray our most honest prayers. The way to see it is this. Psalm starts out with this wonderful statement about God as our dwelling place. It's a wonderful interpretation of life that tells us everything that happens, happens in the house of God. It happens under God's care. Martin Luther, when he was a monk, apparently, didn't know that. And when you don't know that, when it seems like you're just out there, then the wrath of God is very frightening. This psalm comes with a reference that says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And it has been suggested that the immediate circumstance that we are meant to pay attention to is the wilderness journey. But especially the experience of those who had been told that they would not enter into the homeland, which was what was told to Moses. That was their situation. The wilderness was their place. And what the psalm tells them is that even the wilderness is God's dwelling place. What the psalm tells us is that there is no place that we can escape God's care. And so that if we have a choice between this interpretation, that the hardships we face and the disappointments and the negative experiences we face are redeemed by God because God builds our character and God leads us to salvation. If we have a choice between that interpretation and the interpretation that they just destroy us, then we are encouraged and exhorted to accept the first interpretation, that there is nothing that can happen to us that can ultimately hurt us because everything happens under God's care. And thus the psalm is universal in its message. It speaks to every situation in our times as well as theirs. We live in an untransformed world with many problems, and some of the problems just seem unsolvable, or at least, given our weakness, given our inability to work together, seem practically unsolvable. But like much of the rest of the biblical message, we have to come to terms with this recognition that even if in the specific circumstances of our lives or in the life of the world we find workable solutions to some of the problems, we would still stagger before sin and death, which we are powerless to overcome. This psalm acknowledges that. It speaks of life's shortness and attributes the trouble to divine anger at human sin. But it laments in the context of God's sovereignty and care. Not apart from it. It tells us that we are in the house and not out of it. And it laments in hope, great hope, that God's anger will lead to our transformation and to our salvation. And thus, it urges us on towards blessed prayers like the one boldly and confidently prayed here in the last part of this psalm. One of the great hymn writers in what history has called the First Great Awakening, which wasn't the same thing as the Protestant Reformation, but it was a couple of hundred years later, and it took place largely among Protestants, was someone named Isaac Watts. And if you've been paying attention all these years singing hymns out of our hymnals, you've probably noticed his name before. He composed many hymns that are in the hymnal and some that are very familiar to us. Some of my favorites, to tell you the truth. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. And every time we sing that hymn, I think of Paul in Philippians, where he lists all the things that were to his advantage and then says, I count them all loss for the sake of Christ. And I know that that passage of Scripture was an inspiration to Isaac Watts when he wrote that hymn. Or, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would He devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? And then, among the others, there is one that some has referred to as the British second national anthem. Their first national anthem is My Country, 'Tis of Thee. O God, our help in ages past. Which, it turns out, is a paraphrase of the 90th Psalm. And you can sort of see allusions to it in the words in our hymnal. But originally, Isaac Watts wrote 9 verses, and there's almost no hymnal that has all 9 of them in it. But when you see the 9 verses, you can see how he went all the way through the psalm. Most hymnals have 6 verses. Ours have 5. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under Thy shadow, under the shadow of Thy throne, still may we dwell secure, sufficient in Thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth receives her frame, from everlasting Thou art God, to endless years the same. 1,000 ages in Thy sight is like an evening gone. Short is the watch, then ends the night before the rising sun. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be then our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home. Most of us would probably agree that we and our world are in need of another awakening. The world always needs a reformation, but sometimes seem more in need than others. And I believe it will come. I believe it is coming. And when it does, there will be a renewal of the mind, a kind of honest reckoning among people, like what is found in this psalm. An acknowledgement of the greatness of God, and that we live under God's care. There will be a soul searching, a reaching out for the transcendent that is bigger than us, the source of life and peace, resulting from our deep longing for the good and for the beautiful. People, ordinary people, can be reacquainted with God's greatness, and also with our own littleness, I think. A littleness exemplified by our mortality, which is what this psalm speaks of, and also by our weakness, our lack of power to repair the human heart and renew the human mind. But thankfully, when we get to that place where our hearts long, like one of the psalmists, my heart longs for Thee, we will find prayers like the one that we have read here this morning. Whether we find ourselves in one of the insecure times when life circumstances shake our foundations, or in one of the better times when God's grace seems near, all our prayers and all our efforts are covered by God's grace because God is our everlasting dwelling place. And so the sting is taken away. And our minds are open to see the splendor of God's goodness. That is the prayer at the end. And they are the best words that I can come up with. So may the prayer at the end of this psalm be also our prayer today, and let it also be our final words. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children, and may the favor of the Lord rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Shall we pray? We are thankful, O Lord, that we have these psalms that we can relate to and that we can pray. We ask that you would let the words of this psalm sweep us up into your care, that we would not be afraid of your discipline, and that we would be able to ask for your compassion and mercy, that we would celebrate the goodness that you've given to us wherever we are, because you are our dwelling place. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So we'll sing it. Our hymn of dedication this morning is number 48. O God, our help in ages past. Shall we stand together? Thank you, O Lord, for your presence here today, for speaking to us, and for being with us as we have gathered together in your name. And we pray that you would establish the work of our hands. that you would have compassion on us and that you would show us your deeds, that we might celebrate this life, this blessed life that you have given to us. And now as we leave, we pray that wherever we go, we would find ourselves in your house. In Christ's name, amen.